Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Adam Small. This is an interview with Elder Peter M. Johnson, a General Authority 70 of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and his wife, Sister Stephanie Johnson. Elder Johnson was sustained as a General Authority 70 on April 6, 2019. He received a bachelor's and master's degree in accounting from Southern Utah University and a PhD in accounting from Arizona State University. He has been an accounting faculty member at Brigham Young University, BYU Hawaii, and the University of Alabama. He was born in New York City. Elder Johnson and his wife are the parents of four children.
I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, the general life right now. I know as a general authority, you travel around a lot, and that's probably been affected a lot by COVID-19. What's life like right now for you guys? How has it been changed by all this?
Well, that's a great question. How has the life changed by all this? I can tell you that the Lord is still working. The Savior Jesus Christ is not in isolation, or he's not in any type of quarantine. And so the work of the kingdom still moves forward. Of course, our travel schedule has been reduced, but that's only a small portion of what we do at General Authority 70s, actually. You know, we travel on the weekends and everyone equates, so they do state conference, these leadership meetings. But being assigned here to church headquarters, there's a lot we do with meeting with the various departments and organizations of the church, from missionary to temple family history. And so a lot of work has been continuing to move forward as we seek to still proclaim the gospel, to still to phase in, open up of our temples. And so it's been a lot of great work. And the weekend travel, yes, has been gone, but that's also been a blessing because I've been able to be at home with my children, and we've been able to enjoy sacrament together, and so it's been a wonderful blessing in that way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's, you know, all skills to this, but with our family, it's been nice because we've been able to have all our children home because of, you know, everything that's going on. They haven't been able to go into work, and so they've been home with us. So it's actually been nice because it's been a few years that we could all be together.
Yeah. So we all working at home and everyone's doing different things at home. I come to the office because I'm only 10 minutes away from the office, but it's nice to have everyone together. So it's been a blessing, really.
Yeah, of course. How long has it been since you last traveled on a ministering assignment of any kind?
February when we did the mission tour. Oh, no, I went to Arizona.
Went to Arizona after, so.
So, yeah, the last official assignment that I had was towards the end of February, where I had a wonderful opportunity to go to Pima, Arizona, and to be there and with the wonderful saints and do a state conference there. It was wonderful. And that's the last time we've been out. But this morning, we just did a quasi-mission tour with Elder Christofferson via Zoom. We met with over 150 missionaries this morning and had a wonderful devotional with them. And I was sitting 6 feet away from Elder Christofferson. But it was wonderful training and instruction to be able to be with him to provide that to our wonderful missionaries in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just think back to you know, the time of my mission, I couldn't even imagine being a missionary right now, trying to adapt to all this stuff right now, but I'm sure they still enjoy that. I'm sure that was a lot of fun for them. I wanted to ask Elder Johnson a unique question. So I know because you're from New York City originally, right?
Yes.
You were born there. It might be like a little close to home, but I wanted to ask, like, you know, New York City has been just so devastated by the coronavirus and everything. I just wanted to ask, you know, if you could say anything to the people back there to make them feel like some semblance of hope, you know, what would you tell them?
You know, I have a lot of my family lives in New York City, and I've been in contact with a few of them. And I can say this, it is really unprecedented times. We love them. They are really in strict quarantine. The restrictions are a lot higher there from what we have experienced than anywhere in the country. New York City, it's, you know, to be in New York City, it's a ghost town. And a lot of people have been impacted and affected by this virus there. just let them know you're in our prayers. You truly are in our prayers. We have wonderful leaders of the church who we communicate with often in the New York City area. And boy, they're feeling it. They're feeling it. Some of them have even, their members have moved to other parts of the country, but are still performing their acts of service via technology. Elders Quorum presidents are living in different states, different cities, but yet still ministering to the people. Back there, we see a great outpouring of love. We've seen people sacrifice to bring comfort to those who are shut in their homes. We've seen food being delivered in miraculous ways to help those who are in need. And so New York, it's a wonderful state. It's a wonderful city. They call it the Big Apple. They have been through a lot before. We know the spirit of resolve, of courageousness. They will come back, and we'll be there with them, holding their hands and helping to uplift them in all that we can. So to my fellow New York City friends and families, we love you. Stay the course. This is temporary. The light will shine again. Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ is in this work. Continue to fill of their love. Keep your covenants and know that you'll be strengthened even in this time of need. And so we may be disappointed, but we don't need to be discouraged because the Lord is truly in the details of our lives.
Thank you for that. I can only imagine what it'd be like seeing, you know, home being so devastated by something like this. I mean, thankfully my home is not too as hard hit as a place like New York, but you know, we all got to be careful and, you know, just got to look for that light.
We do. But I have a brother. I just tell you this one story. I mean, a brother, of course I have a brother and cousins and different things that still live in New York City. And my brother, unfortunately about 3 years ago suffered a stroke. And so he's in a rehab, hospital type of facility, but since this pandemic has struck, the visitors' families have not been allowed to visit him, and so it is. It's you know, he's fighting just to be happy in his situation. So, you know, just one example. But our prayers are with them, and we hope that some of these restrictions can be lifted, and families can once again see each other, serve each other, hug each other, and uplift each other, because that's ever so needed.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next thing I wanted to talk to you guys about real quick was I got a little sneak peek at both your guys' devotional messages, and I got to look through those. I wanted to just ask you both, you know, with given circumstances in the world or everything else happening around us, how did you both come to the topics that you decided to talk about?
So when we took the vacation, we, went to the slot canyons, and it was a difficult going through Peekaboo and Spooky Canyon for me. It was difficult. In fact, the one point that we got to that 10-foot drop, I was ready to turn around and go back, but I couldn't. I couldn't go back. So all I could do is go forward. And so our son, our youngest son, he went first. He dropped down. So first you drop down to a ledge that was, 5 feet down? And then you had another
ledge
that was about more than that, because he was down below me. And so, of course, he could navigate real easy, and he kind of shimmied down the wall. And so I got to the point, and I mean, fear gripped me. And I'm like, I can't do this. So I dropped down to the 5-foot drop, the first ledge, and I thought, okay, now I'm down there. I can't go back up. All I can do is go down. And so he literally, had to carry me. He's like, Mom, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. Just drop. And I just remember the fear I felt. Anyway, so as we got to that point and how scary, you know, for me it was hard. We got through, and then you're going through these narrows, and you can't see what's in front of you. All you can, you know, and we're like, there was dark, and there were several different areas that we could have gone down that drop. And we didn't know they all led to one at this point. But we were like, is this the right way? How do we know we're going the right way? And my daughter was like, kind of walked or got ahead of us. And she said, you know what? There's footprints. There's footprints in the dirt. And literally, that's the only assurance that we were going the right way. And I just thought about how that relates to our lives, that there's so much, especially now, I mean, there's so much going on, so many voices, you know, saying this and saying that. And I thought how well that relates to these circumstances, these times. Are we going the right way? Is this the right way? How do we know we're going the right way? And that's kind of how I came up with my topic.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, as we took that family trip together before all the craziness started to happen, it was interesting. We were hiking through these various places, you know, Sister Johnson says, okay, how does this relate to the gospel? We go through this. Let's think about how we relate to the gospel. So every time we go to something hard and faith is something hard, it was interesting. Oh, this relates to this. This relates to this. And so, but life is that way. I think we have experiences and everything we do, we find out that the Lord is really in the details of our lives and it does relate and the gospel is for us. And so we thought about our messages and prayerfully consider what we wanted to talk about, but we wanted to make it real, and we wanted to just share some of our vulnerability that we're not perfect by no means, and we have doubts and fears and uncertainties, but we have faith that there's a God in heaven who loves us, and if we can stay close to Him and minister to each other, help one another, because we can't do this by ourselves. We can't get through this craziness by ourselves. And so we wanted to just kind of share that, a message of that we can work together, lean on each other as we strive to lean on the Lord, and we can get through anything.
Yeah. And I think it's so important right now to lean on each other too, because it kind of goes into my next question. I wanted to talk a little bit about, with various states, each state is enacting, different policies and things with, I know up here in Idaho, we had a stay-at-home order for about a month and a half or so, and that's gradually being lifted right now. And I guess, in your talk, Elder Johnson, you talk about, ministering to the one, and you related an experience on your mission where you were feeling very, vulnerable and I guess alone to a degree. How prevalent of an issue do you think it is right now with everything going on, where we're all isolated from each other and, maybe with fewer resources to be able to help combat loneliness? How prevalent of an issue do you think that is right now? And I guess, what are the best things that we can do to reach out to people, even though we're having to be isolated from one another?
Yeah. Thank you. That's a great question. What can we do to help one another in our period of isolation? There's a lot of states, like you mentioned, throughout the country, throughout the world, that there's different degrees of this self-isolation, different degrees of quarantine, different levels of restriction, and it limits our access to people because we are social beings, and so there's those things that are being limited. So there's multiple things we can do. One, it's simple, small things. The Lord said, do small things, great things are brought to pass. And I kind of shared that experience on my mission, where simply I had a companion who just did a small thing, just expressed love for me. I love you. Three words. And so in the midst of my trial and my difficulties, just hearing those words and over time, learning to believe that He really does love me, helped me. And I think we can do those. We can do small and simple things. Through Zoom meetings, through telephone calls, through texts, through emails, through sending pictures, just express our love to each other and to assist them. Let them know that you're not alone, that even though we can't be there physically to hug and to touch and to lift you, there's other ways that we can show that we care. Last night, we had a phone call. You mentioned one of our last visits was to Pima, Arizona. I went there and unbeknownst to me in making that trip there, three young men in a car accident had lost their lives. And so there was a succession of funerals, and I got there on the last of the three funerals for these three young men. And you can imagine how devastating their parents were, and family and friends, and that close-knit community. But I had a chance to be with their family, when they're grieving families, and just to love them and to be there with them. And last night we just had a follow-up call with the mom. And although I'm not there, just that call to build each other up, because they're still in my prayers. And so I think there are small and simple things that we can do, acts of kindness that we can do, to help strengthen one another as we get through these unprecedented times. So I hope that helps. Small and simple things. They don't have to be large or magnificent, just small and simple, and great things to be brought to pass.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you mentioned, you know, we can do Zoom calls, we can do a lot of virtual things. Have you guys had any unique ideas of, you know, being able to minister to someone virtually that maybe someone else might not know about? Like, any? Because, I mean, sharing ideas helps with this kind of stuff, because we've had to get really creative during all this.
Yeah, it does. Creative ideas. The Gen Zs and the millennials, you guys have all the wonderful ideas. It's funny, when this started happening, I'll share this quick thing that I'll let Sister Johnson. So when all this started happening, so when I became a general authority last year, my Facebook account got overwhelmed. And I thought, there is no way, I can't keep up with all this. So I kind of freezed it out just a little bit, you know. I was like, I can't keep up with this, it's too much. And so when all this started happening, I wanted to reconnect again. And so, of course, I reactivated my Facebook account, and I've been seeing wonderful videos that people have been sending, and little fun things. And so we try to make a little video. Just little fun things to send out and share with friends. So I think just being ourselves and communicate the little simple short little videos, 20, 30 second little things, and sending notes through Messenger and just staying connected that way can help. So,
there we go. Yeah, no, I agree. My ministering companion, one of the things that she did to reach out to our ministering sisters, I thought was really cute, is she, you know, one of them she sent flowers and the other one she sent chocolates. And she just, you know, got online and had them mailed to her. And it wasn't anything big, but I know they really, you know, it was something they were like, thank you. I mean, it wasn't expensive. It wasn't anything great, but it was just a little, hey, I'm thinking of you.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And then, because I know you guys, I know your guys' time is precious, and I would love to talk all day, but I know I got to let you go here soon.
No, that's so okay.
If I could just ask you guys one more question. I feel like, you know, in both of your positions and, you know, helping minister to the world, I feel like the Lord reveals things to you in special ways. I know the Lord communicates with us all, but I guess what I wanted to ask was, do you feel like now, with everything going on and with a lot of changes happening in the near future, you know, like temples starting to reopen, hopefully in-person church meetings starting back up soon, if you could give people like the students of BYU Idaho or anyone in general advice when it comes to preparing for the future, whether it's given circumstances or in general, what would you give everyone for advice?
Preparing for the future. You want to go first? Okay.
I think it's just remembering what the plan is. You know, everything that we're going through has been prophesied for thousands of years, and our prophet, you know, just recently shared that scripture in Nephi, you know, that we are those that they looked forward to, that they saw. We're living in those times. And just remember that we were prepared before we even came. We were prepared for this time. So let that be our faith, that, yeah, we're going to go through some crazy things, but we're also going to go through some amazing blessings. And the Lord, you know, if Satan does his thing, the Lord magnifies his thing. And not to be, don't be afraid, have faith, go forward. These are amazing times. And I think that's the message we got from our prophet all the time, President Nelson, is this is, you know, we're living in great times. Great things are happening, and have joy and not fear.
I love that. You know, President Nelson's shared, you know, in his one talk last year, April 2018, I believe, Revelation for the Church, Revelation for Our Lives. The Lord will accomplish more between now and the time he comes again than any other period of time on earth. The work is going to go forth in miraculous and wonderful ways. Yes, like I said, there's going to be trials. There's going to be challenges. But like my wife says, Sister John said, keep the faith, keep the hope, keep your covenants. You know, keep your covenants, because that will allow us to receive revelation, to receive direction from the Holy Ghost, and to have joy even in the midst of difficulties and uncertainties. And yeah, there's going to be disappointments. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be a new normal. It really is. We're not going to go back. Things are going to be different, but the Lord has prepared us for this. Truly he has. We are prepared for this in wonderful ways. And the church is guided by revelation. But I've come to realize through all this that Jesus Christ is truly at the head of this church. This pandemic, these unprecedented times, was no surprise for the Savior, his Heavenly Father. They didn't wake up last night and said, oh my goodness, where does COVID-19 come from? The Lord knows, and he's prepared his people for these times. And so trust in that, trust in the Lord, lean not to our own understanding, and we will have peace even in the midst of challenges.
All right, wonderful. All I can say is thank you for talking to me today. It is a wonderful conversation. I think this is these are great messages that I feel like a lot of people will really enjoy hearing. So, but I'll let you guys go, because I know the work never stops. So
the work never stops.